We had a committee meeting at 6 o'clock. Planning committee. I don't think I have to call the finance council. I guess I do.
Click on it.
Good evening. It's 7 o'clock, and I'm going to call this meeting to order. Will you please stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, Cheryl. Will you do the roll call?
Present.
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 Here.
Present. Present.
So before we do the approval of the agenda, there's been a request by our Public Works Director Mark Freiberger, who would like to pull off the consent agenda item number 4, the STBGP grant approval and match requirements. Is there any objection? Okay, so I am looking then for an approval of the agenda.
Madam Mayor, I make a motion to approve the agenda.
All right.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion by Councilwoman Kinzers and seconded by Councilwoman Cornegate to approve the agenda with item 4 of the consent agenda pulled. Now I am looking for approval of the consent agenda items 1 through 3.
Discussion, please.
Yes?
I'm wondering on item number 3, the purchase of the snow push in the hopper. Knowing that we do not have such significant snowfall every year, I'm wondering why we would not consider renting such equipment until we can fit this purchase into the budget if we had a need for it.
Certainly. There's two pieces that question here. We have an existing sander box that we use on our 3-ton flatbed that is just worn out, and that's a replacement item. In that case, and we do use that when we do get to snow. And by the way, we had the trucks out for, you know, about 5 weeks this year, so it depends on the year. But
right, exactly.
So that's just simply a replacement, and the blade is an added piece of equipment that would go on our tool carrier, our loader, which really we couldn't rent that. And that just gives us that much more flexibility in how we plow. So, okay.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
All right, if there are no more questions or discussion, I am looking for an approval of the consent agenda items 1 through 3.
I move to approve the consent agenda items 1 through 3.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion by Councilwoman Cornegay, seconded by Councilman Couch. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. So tonight, we actually have a special presentation by Jean Williamson, who is our librarian, a fantastic one at that. And Jean, would you like to come forward and give your presentation?
Thank you for having me here tonight. I'm very happy to come and tell you about our first year of Consolidated Library Services, and I feel that it's been a really successful year, and I'm very happy to share that with you tonight. Not sure what button to push. There we go. So this is a picture of the staff. I wanted to start with our staff, because without the staff, we would not have had the successes that we've had this year. So this is our legacy Cedro Woolley staff plus new staff and legacy Central Skagit staff. So we have Mary Anderson starting at the left, Teresa Johnson, Sarah Harlan, Bobby Jacobson, Sandra Davila, Ricardo Avila, Marissa Malone, and Hillary Huggins. And then down in the front, starting with the left, is Alia Allen, and then myself, and Carol Bombach. So my thought was that you would be really concerned about how the staff made it through this transition, and so that's why I'm starting here. So the consolidation has been challenging, but I am extremely pleased with the way our team has come together to provide a really welcoming library atmosphere for our community. Some of the things that we did to build our team, we worked with Kevin Minigan, which you may know from EDASC or Job Corps. He's a very talented facilitator, and he came in and worked with us several days on communication styles and strength finders, and it really helped us to appreciate our different communication styles, but also the different strengths that we brought to the table. And so it was really great working with him. We also did an escape room team building exercise at Escape Anacortes. I recommend it to any team building group. It's wonderful. We also have plans to do one in the fall. We had several all-day staff meetings and training sessions just to build understanding and cohesion and to work on any issues we had with policies or procedures, because things were quite different when we came together. I also opened up all of the opportunities for sharing personal interest with the community to all the staff. So all staff can share, can execute programs, they can build displays, and so all of the staff get to interact and take part in those things. I also made conference and workshop opportunities available to all of the staff, and just a couple of weeks ago, most of our staff attended the joint library conference hosted by the Oregon Library Association and the Washington Library Association. So more opportunities for training and personal development have come along. So we also, I listed our board of trustees here. Mary Alice Grobins is our chair. Mindy Kossler, vice chair. Amit Heinemann, Darcy Restar, and Lynn Torsett. And this was our trustee group for 2018. So I also wanted to share a financial snapshot, because I think it's important for you to see how we used our funding to enhance library services in the community. And so some of the things we did, and I know this is not ideal to look at, but I will also make this available in print for you to look at the financials, but our combined funding for fiscal year 2018 was a little over $1.5 million, and we spent almost that amount in our first year as consolidated library. Some of the things that we did to get the building ready before we started our opening day, we spent about $100,000 on electrical upgrades, upgrades to our shelving. We upgraded all of the computers and networking equipment in the building, and we bought new furniture. We had the carpets cleaned. So we spent a lot of time and effort to get the building ready for opening day. And we also installed interior security cameras. And the big thing that I want to point out is under library materials. So in the fiscal year, we spent over $150,000 on new materials and replacement materials for popular items and important items that had been worn and needed to be replaced. And this is a significant book budget for most libraries of our size. And I have to give it to Teresa Johnson, our head of tech services, because she pretty much single-handedly ordered and processed all these materials on her own. So with great care and attention to detail. So just an idea of how we spend our money in the library district. So library usage. So in our first year, We had almost 50,000 visits to the library. Our average, we usually have between 150 and 250 people a day come through the doors. Some of our busier days, we'll see almost 400 people. We registered a little over 1,000 new borrowers into the system in the first year. We circulated a little over 117,000 items in the community, and our public computer sessions were almost 3,000. We also offer free Wi-Fi, which is pretty heavily used both inside and outside in our parking lot. Okay, and so some of the things I think that have played a part in these statistics, which essentially our CERC and visits are about 20 to 25% higher than they were as we were separate libraries. I think our programs and services, our new materials in the collection play a part. So we also, starting opening day, we increased our hours by 25%. From what our hours had been before. And then just last week, we increased our hours by another 8 hours a week that were open to the public. So a lot more hours that people have available to them to use the library. We added additional digital services, including lynda.com and Learning Express Library. And what those services do is they provide workforce training, certification, practice tests, GED, ASVAB, all of those tests that you need to practice, and the books are essentially obsolete the second year the test comes out. So this keeps those opportunities up to date for people that need that type of workforce training. We also added Ancestry.com for people who are interested in genealogy. It is a very robust genealogy database. Our head of public services, Sarah Harlan, she really upped the adult programming that we do in our library. We have lecture series, we do film screenings, we've had geologists and volcanologists come and talk about our local volcanoes, we've had some programs on recycling and water conservation. So in close alignment to initiatives that the city and county are also pursuing to better the community as a whole. We've also added young adult programs. We have an anime club. We have Dungeons and Dragons group that meets twice a week. We have book clubs and teen crafting. We've also had continued growth in our early literacy programs. So in addition to baby rhyme time and story times, and we have a lit kids lit, it's Lit Wits book clubs for the little ones. Alia Allen, our youth services specialist, added a multi-generational program at Village Concepts. So once a month she hosts a story time at Village Concepts, and it brings people across all generations together to share and learn from each other, and it's been very successful, and we hope to keep it going. So kudos to Alia Allen for that. That's been a wonderful program. We also have English as a Second Language conversation groups that meet. So people from all different languages meet to practice their English, and it's a really, really helpful, and it's also fun for the people that are involved. Some of our other programs that are going on. Some of you may remember that Mary Anderson used to do a book cook talk where she did a demonstration cooking for groups and read books, excerpts from books around the thing that she was cooking. So those have gotten started again, I'm very pleased to say. We'll probably do them about 3 times a year. It's a lot of work that goes into it. There are some pictures from the Home Again story time at Village Concepts. And then the teens are doing some cupcake wars from summer reading this past year. Also, some of you may have been at our City Works Day, which was wildly successful. It was really exciting to see all of the excited children, and I'm very thankful to the city staff for sharing their work day and their work equipment. I think it was very exciting for the children. So looking ahead, some of the things that we're going to be working on, we have a pop-up library concept that we're working on where we will sponsor Wi-Fi in different areas of the city where people might be waiting, dentist office, laundromats. And what it would do is allow people with a mobile device to download free ebooks to read while they're waiting. But embedded in that ebook would be an advertisement to come and see us at our physical library and find out what services they have. So it's a way to advertise our service, but also provide free ebooks to people that are maybe just stuck somewhere waiting. We'll also be bringing the Bookmobile to area festivals and markets, and we're also running out to Big Lake again once a week. We will be at the farmers market here in town every first Wednesday. We have a garden party coming up May 19th. That's been an important program for many years at the Cedro Woolley Library, and where people come together to plant the planters that are in the back. And so that's always successful, and we have a family who come and provide really nice music while we're planting. So I invite all of you to join us. And then one of the programs I want to point out toward the end of May, we have a couple of screenings and a speaker that will come and talk about the Japanese internment that happened. So be on the lookout for that. And also, thank you for allowing us to have the scrolling marquee of our programs out in the front entrance. So keep an eye on that if you want to know what we're doing, because we have a lot going on. So in conclusion, I just want to say that I am very pleased with how this first year has gone. I'm very pleased with the staff, and I'm very thankful to the City Council and our Board of Trustees for supporting this effort. And from all of the programs and the busy stats, you can see that we do need this new library. There's so much going on that it's hard for things not to just encroach on each other. So we're really looking forward, and I'm sure our patrons are too, to having elbow room and quiet places and nooks to work where people aren't on top of each other. So I really thank you. And if you have any questions, please.
Any questions by the council?
I was wondering how do you reach out to the students at the schools about, like, say, for the young adults programs? Do you reach out to the kids at the school?
So we have an outreach coordinator who spends quite a bit of time working with the schools. Our young youth services specialist also goes out into the schools and does promotional activities for the programs that we're doing. We've also hosted book clubs, Dia de los Muertos events, so we actually go into the schools and promote our programs. We also offer free student cards to any child in the school district, regardless of their residence.
I would just like to say I'm not a frequent user of the library, but my wife is, and she hasn't been there for a while, but for the last couple of weeks she's been going, and she was very impressed with the cleanliness of the library compared to what it used to be. And the service was very good and very courteous, and the young gentleman there she was really impressed with, so you can give him a little pat on the head. So.
That would be Ricardo Avila.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And then would you like to mention the groundbreaking ceremony?
Right. So June 5th at 2 o'clock, we will have our groundbreaking ceremony at the site, and we plan to have the Bookmobile there to provide power, but also to allow people to see what the Bookmobile is about.
All right. Thank you, Jean.
Thank you.
It's a great presentation. And now we will move on to... Now we'll move on to staff reports. Chief Tucker?
Yeah, so we've been kind of plagued with staffing issues. We got one sergeant who's still on light duty after hurting her ankle, not doing anything cool but painting her bathroom. We have Lieutenant Dan, who is supposed to be out with an injured ankle, but He just limps a little bit and is doing fine, but he's technically on light duty. And then Jason Harris, who hurt his hand during a pursuit, he's been off on vacation, so he had he's hopefully he's coming back healed up. So we're looking forward to getting everybody back. And for those that didn't know, we had a new hire that was going through the training process, did not work out for us. And probably, I think, on the day of our last city council meeting, he was let go. So we're starting the hiring process again for looking for another another body. We've been doing, actually, Sergeant Eaton back there was kind of one of the ones who got this rolling, was doing lunches with the different schools. And that's been really, really popular. Except for the food part, it was really a lot of fun. If you get a chance to eat lunch with any grade schoolers, I wouldn't. But going to meet with them is fine. I don't know. Aaron, I think, put it best. We're doing a serious disservice to these kids with some of the food. It was horrible. Or it looked gross anyway. But we had a really good time. We went to Mary Purcell and Central this week, and I think we've been pretty much everywhere else. I think that was everything. We're still going to hit the senior center. Ellen's invited us to come have lunch with that crew, and we got a couple other things on tap, too, we'd like to do. But just getting out there and meeting the folks and hanging out and handing out a bunch of stickers and hanging out with the kids has been a lot of fun. And finally, the you may have heard we had a shooting in the 700 block of Sap Road here. This just, was it Sunday night or Monday night? It was one of those nights. And nobody was hurt, but officers responded to a report of shots fired. It was close enough to Nathan's house that it woke him up. And several shots fired. Officers went to investigate, got absolutely no cooperation. Had to force their way into a residence to ensure nobody was injured and had people hiding inside there who were either involved or victims. They were not real clear on that, and our investigation is still continuing, but no one was hurt, and it was just kind of a weird thing. We couldn't really tell if there were good guys or bad guys involved. It was just kind of a weird thing, but several shots were fired, and our detective's still working on the case. And one last thing is next council meeting, I'll be out of town at Waspik, finding out what all the legislative stuff has, how it's going to affect law enforcement. We're going to be talking a lot about that over in Spokane at that conference that week. That's all.
Thank you. Chief Klinger?
Just wanted to report that Chief Olson was instrumental in securing funding. He's got $6,000 in the donations from other agencies and other groups for our rail car. I had the bad pun, but John told me not to use it, about our project being derailed, and it's now back on track. But we'll be getting our we'll be getting our tanker car coming here shortly, probably before the end of June is what we're shooting for. That we'll have that down at the training site and getting it set up for use. So
that's great. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Coleman.
I did not tell him not to use that pun, but I did call him out for planning it for a week in advance. So we've had a really busy time down in the Planning and Building Department. We hired a new permit tech to replace Joanne, who's going to be retiring on June 28th. So cat is out of the bag. It's official. We have hired Michelle Grace, who has over 20 years' experience as a permit tech. So we're really excited to have her join our staff. She's coming from Mount Vernon, and so if you're looking for new police officers, I think Mount Vernon's already mad at us for stealing some of their staff, so I don't know if you want to raid any more of their staff from over there. And also, the council recently approved the hiring of a planning intern. So we did hire Catherine Weir, a recent graduate from Western Washington University, and she started last Wednesday, and so far she's been doing a really great job. She's really excited to be working with us and really eager to do whatever planning-related items we put in front of her, and just super interested in how cities work. And so we already have her on a a top priority project, working on the urban village mixed use topic. So that urban village mixed use overlay project is ongoing with the Planning Commission. We'll be reviewing that at the next Planning Commission meeting, and then anticipating in the, this is May, so in the June Planning Commission meeting, we're anticipating a final public hearing, hopefully having something completed and have the public hearing on it in June, and then that would come to the City Council for their review and possible approval. I think that's all I'm going to have for you. There's some other planning topics that Council Member DeYoung is going to brief you on also.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Freiberger.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to bring to Council's attention the item that was pulled from the consent calendar. This is staff's request for your approval to submit grant applications under the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program that's currently open with the Council of Governments. We have been informed that there are about $5.7 million available. These funds are not available until 2024, so we're reaching out a ways to program these funds. About $1.7 million of that's reserved for the rural agencies, including the county and the smaller cities, and then the rest is urban, about $1.5 million, and then 2.4 is either classification. So about $3.5 million is available potentially for projects in our classification. The projects that I had originally proposed to you are both related to our Jones-John Liner Road Trail Road Corridor projects. That's our next priority that you'll be hearing from us pretty repeatedly over the next few years. The first one is to put a shared use path on the north side of John Liner Road from Reed Street to Highway 9 Township. That's kind of a preparatory project for the opening of the undercrossing when that happens. As you know, the pavement on John Liner is not that old. We had a TIB grant for that about 4 years ago, so the surface is in pretty good shape, but there are no shoulders or sidewalks on that, and so we have quite a number of kids in the area that walk down the middle of that road because there's not a lot of traffic right now, and my concern in scheduling our corridor projects is that we take care of the non-motorized element on John Liner before we open that undercrossing and run new traffic down that road, which will increase. So this is a way of getting ahead of that in our scheduling. So this is an opportunity to fund that. We would be trying to actually get this project built earlier than 2024, which is sometimes possible under this program. So that's the first of the projects. The second one that I mentioned in the original memorandum was the Jones Road arterial improvements, which is on the other side of the railroad embankment. That appeared to be a good opportunity when I first wrote the memo, but as we look at the rules for these grants, the projects, the roadways have to be on the federal functional classification system. John Liner Road is, but Jones is not right now. It's something we've had on our list of things to do, and it's one of the activities that's going to come out of our scoping study we're doing. So that one's just a little premature to apply for. So what I'm proposing to do in lieu of that is the John Liner Road arterial improvements themselves, which is about $1,300,000 project with a match requirement of $201,000. That would be what I would recommend. Now, that's in our longer-term TIP right now. I will, when I bring the TIP to you in June, show this as a project in the actual current six-year TIP, but right now it's in the TIP from 7 to 20 years. So I'll be working with SCOG's staff to see if that's okay to apply for it. It may or may not be. I'm not certain about that. Projects have to be both arterially classified, and they have to be in the TIP. So whether it's the shorter version only or not will determine whether I actually submit that one. So those are the two projects that I'm proposing, and we would need a motion from you. It's on the original agenda item, but it's a motion to authorize staff to apply for the grants identified in this memo, which I've just modified for you, and to commit them to local match dollars identified in this memo.
Right, it's on page 32 of your packet. So Mr. Freiberger is looking for a motion.
I move to authorize staff to apply for the grants identified in this memo and to commit the local match dollars identified in this memo.
Second.
All right, so I have a motion by Councilwoman Cornegay, seconded by Councilman Couch. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
So one other thing I just wanted to report on. Commissioner Wiesen is here tonight, and I wanted to thank him for this. The commissioners directed the engineering staff over at Public Works to do a operational analysis on Rhodes Road coming out of the rather frequent concerns that were experienced by both the county and the city residents on Rhodes Road with the increasing traffic volumes after the opening of the new Jameson Roundabout back a couple of years ago. That analysis was completed, and we've reviewed that and given our input, and We just today posted that analysis on our website, and we're making that available to anyone who wants to see that. And we are still getting calls. I've had two this week on that. In the analysis, engineering staff at the county identified all of the questions that were asked and the answers and the suggestions given. And they made some recommended low-cost solutions for those things. Which I think are a good idea. It's basically a chip seal and restriping the road to put edge lines in to slow the traffic down. One of the frequent complaints was that people were running, especially around the 90-degree curve by the barn down there, and just causing people to have to go off the shoulder to avoid the oncoming traffic. That should keep them a little more directed in that area. They're also going to widen and fix that curve a little bit. And they're going to widen the shoulder on the east-west part of that from Highway 9 to the curve where we've got sufficient there's sufficient right-of-way to do that so that there's a place for pedestrians to walk off of the roadway. Right now, that's a 20-foot roughly pavement and no shoulders to speak of. So those are both good fixes that the county is actually planning to do this summer. There's been some surveying going on out there to get ready for that. And the city's got a couple of things to do as well. We're going to pay for the portion of the chip seal, which the county is going to do on our part of the road up on the north end. So that can also be striped. And then do some edge repairs up there on that. And we're looking at putting in weight limit signs on that route to keep the commercial trucks from using that. We have some that are doing that, some that are bypassing Highway 20, Highway 9 by going that way, and so we want to discourage that activity. That should be pretty effective with their commercial licenses. They don't like getting cited for that kind of thing, and so that should be effective. Aaron and I are working on research to make sure there's not any hurdles, because that is a classified minor collector. We'll just make sure there's no issues with that. So I wanted to report on that, and everything else is pretty much as we've been reporting in the past. We've got several design projects and some projects to build this summer yet. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, lots going on. And I got to tell you, I'm really pleased to hear that something is going to be happening with Rhodes Road. As you know, we've received many comments and concerns regarding that road, both us and the county. So I'm happy to hear that something's going to be addressed. And while we're here, we want to welcome you, Commissioner Wiesen. Thank you for coming tonight. And also, I see we have former C.J. Woolley Mayor and County Commissioner Sharon Dillon here. Welcome. Thank you. I'm glad you came tonight. And State Senator Keith Wagoner. I guess I see you as a friend more than I do as senator. My apologies. Yeah. All right. So, Mr. Berg.
Yes, thank you. So the legislature wrapped up last week, and Siege Woolley was fortunate to be graced with significant funding this year. Senator Wagoner led the team, and I'll just run down the list. It's a pretty good list. We've talked about it before, but now we know what's actually in the budget. So on the library project, $1.0 million, so in addition to the prior $1.5 million for $2.5 million for that project, there's $298,000 to complete the Winnie Hauser Park improvements, about $368,000 to continue environmental cleanup work up at the Swift Center. There's another $1 million going up into the military department at the Swift Center. There's $6.6 million going to the Evaluation and Treatment Center as part of the Skagit County's Behavioral Health Campus, located next to Life Care on SR-20 here in Cedar Woolley. So a big year, and I'm kind of looking to the Commissioner, Mayor, Councilwoman, whose experience goes back to 1992, if I recall correctly. I can't think of a year, I'm not aware of a year, when Cedar Woolley has seen anything near this level of support from the state of Washington. So she's nodding her head. So I think that, I think a real robust appreciation to the Senator for the heavy lift. And we got a heavier lift for you next year.
It's a shorter.
So thank you for that. A couple of quick items. The Swift Partnership, where we're continuing to do what we've been doing for several years now. That's the partnership between the port, the county, and the city. Everything seems to be hitting all of its marks with Cedron, and the plan is continuing to unfold with Building 1 potentially moving into full design yet this year and moving into construction phase later this year for occupancy next year. The partnership is exploring right now the possibility of visiting the VARCOR unit that's currently coming up to speed in Hartley, Texas, to see this thing firsthand. I'll keep you posted on that. Tomorrow, the mayor and Nathan and I are meeting with the YMCA to explore the YMCAW project, W being Woolley. We think there's a really good chance we're going to be able to run a rec program, we being the YMCA and Cedar Woolley together, in Cedar Woolley in the summer of 2019. So it'd be a kind of a limited reach rec program, but something we'd have for the first time here, which would be pretty exciting, leading to a future broader program potentially in 2020. And then lastly, for our school board member and our former school board member, I don't think the chief quoted me directly. I think what I probably said regarding school lunches is that the school is missing an opportunity to educate children about good food, proper nutrition, and the value of having a nice lunch and chatting with each other while you eat using actual utensils and water. So, but I also really enjoyed my my visit with the kids while they ate lunch. That's it for me. Thanks.
Nice recovery. Mr. Merriman.
I have two items tonight. The first is to give you some information regarding our update on the library bond issue. About a month ago, we issued a request for a proposal, what we call an RFP. That proposal went out to 15 different banks. By the closing date, we had 7 banks respond. They each had a different package they were putting together for us. Of those 7, 1 bank did not meet the minimum criteria, so we did not consider them. Where we came out as far as interest offers were anywhere from 3.21% to 3.98%. That was a range between those 7 different banks. The successful bank appears to be Banner Bank. We're working with them right now on their proposal. They offered the best terms and the least total interest cost of all the respondents. Their proposal is a 3.21%. You may recall we talked about doing a traditional bond issue. That rate was about 3.98%. So we're actually coming in about 0.7% less than what a traditional bond issue was going to be. So with this closing, we should be looking about the third week of May to actually close. One of the benefits to their package is they have a drawdown feature in it. So typically you issue bonds, you get the money all up front, even though you haven't actually spent some of the money yet. So you're paying interest right out of the gate. Under theirs, we have a drawdown feature similar to a construction loan when you're building a home. So we only pay interest on the portion that we've drawn, and that's for a period of up to 18 months. So that saves us quite a bit of interest cost during the construction time. The maturity is the 20 years that we were looking for. The maturity date would be December of 2039. Although the city can call or pay off a portion or all of the loan at any time with no penalty prior to that. So that was a pretty good package that they were offering to us. It was the best of the bunch. So right now, for the next couple of weeks, we'll be working with our bond counsel and with the city's financial advisor firm to prepare the closing documents and execute that bond sale. So that was a very positive result, and it was a good result to try a little bit of a non-traditional method to get some good financing for the project. The second item I have is at each of your places on the dais, I've provided an autographed copy of our 2019 biennial budget. I know everyone's been excited to get that one. So you'll notice it's a little bit different format this year. I've included several new narratives that talk about our budget philosophy as a city. All of our financial policies are included in there as well. And the department formats, it's a two-step process. Step one is this year. We've kind of restructured how the data is laid out. And then next year we'll be looking at some other things, a little bit different narratives, and even a little bit on performance measurement for each of the departments. So stay tuned for next year and coming on that. As you use this document, or if you look through it and have any questions, please give me a call because I will help you with anything that's in there or questions you might have. And that's all I have for tonight.
All right, thank you. And thank you for the hard work on the bond. That's a fantastic bond, thank you. Councilman Couch.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a couple comments. I want to thank the community who's showed up to the meeting tonight. It's nice to have some involvement. And thank you to the elected officials in the room and for everything that you've done to help the city throughout the year and the partnerships that we have. Most importantly, I want to thank Mayor Johnson for her actions after our April meeting on the veto of the salary ordinance for the city council. And to the city council, I would just like to put out that I look forward to reasonable and robust conversations tonight, and I hope we can find a reasonable compromise.
All right. Thank you. Councilman Owen.
Yeah, it's nice to see Mr. Reason here tonight. Nobody mentioned his name. He's sitting over in the corner. So welcome to the council, and we're happy to have you. And also you, Sharon, it's nice to see you. I haven't seen you for a while, so it's good to see your face, so maybe you'll show up more often. I won't say nothing about you, Rick. But thank you all for coming. It's nice to see the chairs full here. Now, I've got you, Mr. Wagner. No, I was looking at you. Welcome to you, too, and thank you for all your hard work.
All right. Councilwoman Cornegay?
I just wanted to mention the community action. Finally, the Robert M. Gates Gadget Vets Connect, the ribbon cutting is going to be on the 15th at 7, what is it, 4 to 7. That's an open house and dedication ceremony right there at the 160 Cascade Place in Burlington. That's it.
All right. Thank you. Councilwoman Kinzer? Okay. Councilman DeYoung?
Really enjoyed the fishing derby that the Wildcat Steelhead group did, and it's been going on up at Northern State since 1962, and nice to see so many jumbo trout come out of there. I must have seen at least 3 5-pounders, and just the joy that you see on those kids' face of catching a fish. Good to see the game wardens out there that reduced the amount of dad crosstalk, and also Fish and Wildlife with their prizes. It was just a wonderful event. And speaking of the Wildcat Steelhead Club, I was able to introduce Kelsey from the Skagit enhancement group that's helping out the city with a little project next to the Bark Park, looking for projects down the road. Hopefully remove the class 2 noxious weeds known as Himalayan blackberries out by the boat ramp and put in some established trails. And looking forward to seeing those relationships develop as we go further with these nonprofit groups that are looking to help improve the quality of life down by the river. I did have a comment, Mark, about folks talking about Jameson and Township on the that'd be the west side on that intersection of quite the rattler of some rough pavement there, and so I wanted to bring that to your attention. Also on the 11th, which is a Saturday, there will be a trail building up at Northern State. There's a lot of information out about that. Looking forward to participating in that activity. And also on the 11th is a food drive, peanut butter drive, that you can leave out with your letter carrier. And that helps us locally here as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Councilwoman Denley.
I have nothing at the moment.
All right. Councilwoman Kelly.
Well, I want to thank everyone that participated in Woodfest. It was a very successful event. We filled the gym, and we had participation from the Downtown Association, from the winery, and from Willowbrook Manor. And all of those organizations said they did really well, and it made a big difference to offer something east of I-5 during Tulip Festival. So thank you all for your participation in that event. I know Julia did a great job of rounding up volunteers. Jermaine and Carl were both there working the event. And I saw many of you there as well, including Brendan, you were there. And Eric, thank you, young man, for being the one to help us clean up at the end of the thing. That was great. So thank you all. Our next event will be the Blast from the Past. We have that scheduled for the 7th, 8th, and 9th of June. And we do hope you will all participate in that. I hope to see Aaron and his family out there pushing the color run again. They did a great job last year, got all colorful. We have that going on along with events down at the square, and Local 20 will handle the beer garden again, and we will have vendors. We expect to have a full contingent of vendors. Unfortunately, I did hear from Leah up at Thompson's Greenhouse, and they're unable to be there. And we know that's a popular item amongst our vendors, so that doesn't mean you can't go up to Thompson's and buy plants, though. They do still sell them up on Highway 9. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Everyone did a nice job with them announcements. I just have one more that I want to add, and that's the farmer's market. I believe that it does begin the 22nd of this month, 3 o'clock. So it's always exciting. Runs through, I think, October, something like that. But coming up here in a couple weeks, the farmer's market. And then to all the mothers in the room, I want to say Happy Mother's Day on Sunday. So moving on, we are now going to, or I'm going to open it up for public comment. And I want to let you know, we're also having a couple of public hearings. Those will be following after this, and they have to do with home trust and also the deferred impact fees for the school. So what we're opening up now is just a public comment, and I would encourage all of you when you come up to give your name and address. Try to keep it under 3 minutes. And I do want to remind everybody, because I understand that sometimes when you come to speak there are frustrations, please remember that you are to direct those at I and the council. You're talking to I and the council, not to our staff. So I open it up. It is 7:48. Who would like to be first?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Julia. You do a great job. My name is Peggy Sirian, 635 Jennings, Cedar Willie. My husband has been a person living in Cedar Willie for 90-plus years. I for 60 plus years. We love Cedar Willy. My question tonight is maybe to Chuck. Chuck, is the garbage man in our area, is he getting an 80% raise?
Well, I suppose you should talk to the department head.
The which department?
Yeah, talk to them. I'm not up here.
Okay, I just knew that we had some discussion on an 80%.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt right here. Because
sure.
Actually,
Let me tell you this. If you want to have a discussion, we'll do it after the meeting.
Okay, that would be fine.
Yeah. So this is just public comment. So
okay,
just
public comment then.
Right.
Okay. I'm a senior citizen, as you can see. There is a growing concern about the amount of what you're asking for a raise. Not just one, but several people. We just want to know that there are people out there that are very concerned about it. Medicare, maybe $15 a month. So maybe you can think about the people of our age when you're thinking about an 80%. All right?
Thank you.
But we appreciate what the fire people do here. We appreciate what Lynn Tucker and his group does. So it's not all whatever. We're happy with Cedar Willy. Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy. Come on up. Again, I want to remind you, this is just public comment. There will be no response.
Never is.
And, in fact, Aaron, would you mind keeping track of the time for us, just so we stay on task?
Sure. I'll set the timer for 3 minutes, and I'll give speakers a 30-second heads up.
Sounds great. Thank you.
I have a question for the audience as well as the council members. If our council people aren't worth $12 an hour, which is the Washington State minimum pay, I wonder what they're worth and what we get for paying them less than $12 an hour. I know that money is tight. I'm also on Social Security, and I'm quite a bit older, I think, than the lady who was just up here. And I rely on Social Security and a place I have for rent to make it work. It's not easy. I'm going to go in something here that I typed up. Washington State's minimum hourly pay is $12. Over the last few years, the responsibilities of most city employees have grown along with the time required to be a city representative. I would suggest that if council members are not involved at least 14 hours per week on city business, including that of city council meetings, work study meetings, representing the city at county state issues, and one-on-one discussions with the people in their ward, they probably shouldn't represent the city. Most city employees have received at least 2 to 3 pay raises in the last 10 years, though the city council has not received any raises nor any employee benefits such as that received, like for health, disability insurance, and so to pay these expenses themselves. Based on a general average of 14 hours for 42 weeks, that equals 728 hours yearly, or $8. Right now, they're getting $8.24 per hour based on a $500 a month salary. One can play with these numbers, and I'm sure that'll happen, but I believe the city has really come out ahead in the last 10 years paying out less than a minimum wage to council people such as yourselves. At $12 an hour, based on the 14 hours a week, this works out to $728 a month, and I think you should receive the minimum in that without question. I don't know anybody in the audience who would work for $8.24, and I don't even know kids on the street after school's out that will work for that amount. I would suggest that the issue of pay raise for the council should have been raised by either the mayor or other staff for more earlier, such as when they were preparing the budget, for more equitable treatment and adjustment before now. You know, even before, you know, Julie, you became mayor, it should have been dealt with.
30 seconds.
So I call upon the city council members to have some backbone and stick with your plan that you need a raise and you deserve a raise. Now, I know one person up there doesn't have to worry about health benefits from his employer, maybe two of you, but everybody else is sitting out there, and we all know what insurance costs, and we also know what happens if you get sick or something like that, where your costs go. So anyway, I would ask you to stick to your guns and get some kind of raise, because you deserve at least a $728 per month. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Oh, by the way, I'm Dennis O'Neill. I live at 109 Talcott Street, Cedar Willy. And I'll, can I just give a copy of my
So, is there somebody else who would like to speak? Tina?
Thank you.
Tina Shampo, 1641 State Route 9, Cedar Woolley. I would like to comment that I was disappointed in the 80% increase in the monthly stipends that our council voted upon. But under the current policy for salary increases, their vote is legally supported by the RCWs. With this said, while the vote by council members is legal, it may not always be the most expedient way to carry out a salary increase. I would like to propose that the mayor and city council at least discuss the establishment of a salary commission, which would set a precedent in Skagit County. A salary commission is a commission of citizens who apply on a voluntary basis for the express purpose of setting salaries of the mayor and city council members. The mayor and council select a panel to interview the public applicants who have applied by the application process. The salary commission sets salaries for city officials based on reasonable standards. This enables them to then continue to promote the values of this community with confidence in the support of the city that they serve. From my research, the commission meets 1 to 3 times per year, depending upon the need. This is the second type of policy supported by RCWs for setting salaries, yours being the first. While I am not a proponent of growing government, I believe it would give greater transparency and involvement to the citizens of Cedar Woolley. Again, I'm asking the mayor and council to have a serious discussion for adopting this policy and way of doing business. I have printed copies of the application that Lake Stevens uses, also a short but excellent read on salaries for elected officials that was written by a man named Paul Sullivan, who has worked with local government operation and authored publications on local elections, ordinances, and general local government operations, as well as providing training on the Open Public Meetings Act. Please feel free to make copies for your mayor and city council, as I did make copies, and I will give you some to pass out. And thank you for your time, and thank you for the great job that you do.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening. Sally White, 423 Talcott. I want to thank the previous speaker. I was really disappointed with you guys after the last meeting. I wrote a letter to each of you, and after hearing about this proposal, I would like to read part of that letter face to face to drive home my point. I applaud Jermaine and Jared for not voting for an increase in pay. This is a civil service appointment for the city of Cedar Woolley. The fact that council members get $500 per month, let alone $900 in the future, in my opinion, is absurd. Jared and Jermaine are spot on with regards to their reasons for not voting for an increase in pay for this council seat to work for the citizens in their ward. I urge you, Julia, to reconsider signing this proposal so that the money spent may be better used for our citizens of the city, not for the benefit of the council members. I would hope that the council would have agreed the greatest good for the greatest number of citizens approach to your positions. It is refreshing to see that at least some of the council members have some ethics and moral compass besides being selfish. To the rest of you, shame on you. I'm not done. My questions to all of you is this. Why are you here? Is it to push through your own personal agendas? Do you want your CV to be more impressive by adding to a council position? Do you feel like you have power by being a city council person? Or is it to truly work for the citizens of your ward? How well, as a council, do you all work together? I'm asking you these questions for all of us here tonight. May I remind you that you are no better
30
nor,
seconds.
Thank you. I'll talk faster. Or different than anybody else here in this room. You put your pants on the same way we do, one leg at a time. In fact, if you think about it, the citizens are actually your boss and Julia is your supervisor. By voting in favor of a salary increase, you are essentially depleting the city of Cedar-Woolley and the citizens of much-needed services and personnel who support the infrastructure of our community.
And that's time up.
Thank you. Done.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else?
We won't count it on your time.
Harold Beitler, 1207 Jameson Street, Cedar-Woolley. Actually, I'm unprepared to address you people tonight. I sat at home this last week, thinking this over, trying to figure out exactly which way to jump. Read the newspaper article, and I can't say as I disagree with what was quoted in there. The only thing is, the article is misleading. First thing, people look at 80%? Holy mackerel. But let's look at what 80% is. About maybe $1,200 a year. Here it is a few months ago. Staff got one heck of a big raise, clear across the board. I didn't hear anybody squealing about that. If I'm not mistaken, I'm going by memory, we're looking in a couple of years that the increase in salary would be something like $3,800. Hey, what's that when you're talking actually millions in our so-called budget? Now, again, I got to copy somebody, a lady ahead of me. I commended to a councilman over here that voted no. That's an indication that our council is starting to think. They're asking questions. Is this right? Is it wrong? I think they were wrong in their thoughts, but then that's up to them. They're here to represent their people in their wards. And that's what you people do. You're supposed to represent your people in the wards, not you personally. And this is one of the things that I've noticed quite frequently. It gets to be a little bit. Now, this raise that they're asking for, yes, that's a big raise percentage-wise. But think of it, if you don't raise that so-called salary, if you want to call it such, down the road, you're going to get unqualified people setting up here because nobody's going to come down here.
30 seconds.
Thank you. I knew I was going to run short of time, but anyway, you need to take a real hard look at this. It's very unfair, and something's wrong. You people are working for the people here for the best interest, but we're not getting it for some reason. And I think maybe that you need to get your head together again and take a look at this salary thing.
Time's up.
Get it up.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else?
Hey, my name is Brendan McGoffin. My address is 277 Klinger Street. I'd first like to thank Officer Lynn Tucker and Aaron Berg for visiting our schools. I think with the recent shooting, it's really important that you guys are out there showing that you're supporting the schools. And I would just like the council to think, are we doing everything we can for our kids to reassure them that they are safe? So, thank you.
All right, thank you. And anyone else? Okay, it is 8:04, and I will close public comment. Now I will open it up. We have actually two public hearings tonight. The first public hearing is for the Home Trust of Skagit Community Development Block Grant. It is 8:04. There was only one person who was signed up, and that was Paul. Did you want to come and speak to it? So I will open this up at 8:04, public hearing for the Home Trust of Skagit Community Development Block.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. I just wanted to say that I'm here and available to answer any questions. I've helped to put together the idea that the city of Cedar Woolley could help bring in some additional funding that could be used to build homes that people can afford to buy. Home Trust of Skagit is a nonprofit agency that you heard from the prior two meetings, and there's been information in your council packet for the last two meetings and then again tonight. As part of the process to compete for this funding, it's federal funding that comes through the state of Washington in Olympia. They conduct a process every year. It's a competition, and there are always more proposals than there's funding available. But I think that this idea that you've been looking at has a strong chance of being competitive, at least. There's no guarantee the money will come through the first time, but it's a once-a-year opportunity. And on behalf of the future home buyers and Home Trust of Skagit and myself, an independent contractor who works in Skagit and Whatcom County on these kinds of things, I appreciate your taking a look at it. After the public hearing, if you're ready to proceed, there is a resolution in the packet that lists the conditions that are attached to the decision you'll make later. If a grant is offered, there's a decision later if you want to accept it or not based on the terms of the offer. But the resolution acknowledges that you know what some of those conditions are. I have a couple handouts that were in your packet before, but if anyone in the audience is interested, I have a fact sheet from the state of Washington that describes the Community Development Block Grant Program and the limited uses it can be put to. And then I also have a handout that is the federal requirements that allow for or require citizen participation or a chance for citizens to comment. And so that's what the public hearing confirms that you're doing. You're providing an opportunity for citizens to comment. So I'll be here if you have any further questions, and I'll stay after if anyone else has questions from the audience.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. And are they back there on the table for people?
I can put these on the back table.
Yeah, and so they'll be back there for anybody who needs them or wants
yes.
them. All right.
Thank you.
So there wasn't anybody else who had signed up for public hearing for this grant block. Is there anybody who would like to speak? I'll give you an opportunity to do that. Okay. If not, then I am going to, it's 8:07. I'm going to close that public hearing and open up the second one, which is the deferred impact fees for the schools. It is 8:07. Is there anybody who would like to speak to this? All right, if not, then at 8:07 I will close the hearing, the public hearing for the impact fees for the deferred impact fees for the school. So let's move on to page 38, talking about the Home Trust Skagit Community Development Block.
I would like to move that the council adopt resolution 1024 TAC 19 to formally authorizing the CDBG grant application.
Second.
Okay. Who seconded? Okay. So we have a motion by Councilwoman Dunley, seconded by Councilwoman Kelly. Any discussion?
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank the responses to my questions about the the three compliant items that we needed to have in order to move forward, and so we can move with compliance. We don't need any new ordinances because of the greenhouse gas compliance, and also with peaceful disruption or protest. And I'm very grateful that we had those questions answered quickly. So I didn't know if you wanted to talk a little bit about what those compliance issues were to get this grant.
So they were great questions that you sent to me, and how would I do it in a nutshell? So we actually do have an ordinance. It is Ordinance 822, I believe. It was passed in 2010, and it does cover the requirements for the greenhouse. And then the others had to do with, adopt enforcing a policy prohibiting the use of excessive force by law. And the third had to do with implementing a policy of enforcing applicable state and local laws against physically barring entrance or exit to any facility and whatnot regarding the civil rights. So, and we do have those in place. And for anybody who wants them, I can supply them, or we can even put them on our website. So.
Okay, I just wanted that highlighted.
So, if there are no more discussion or questions, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So the motion passes. So then on to the deferred impact fees for the schools. Let's see, Aaron, did you want to talk about this?
Sure. Well, I'll probably pass it to John, but I did want to acknowledge that in the presence of former Mayor Wagoner, the dash has once again become a tack for the first time in, I don't know, it seems like it's been a year and a half.
I was raised by a naval officer.
Well, we haven't seen the tack in a while, so welcome back to the tack. So the next item is a housekeeping item. The City Council in 2012 adopted a policy that allowed for the deferred collection of impact fees, and beginning in 2012, that has included all of the impact fees, including school impact fees. One of our zealous legislative analysts in Olympia was doing some research on behalf of some committee or another, and kind of looked at our policy and felt like our school impact fee deferral element was missing proper enabling language. And it was hard for me to disagree. So this is a housekeeping item. The practice has been what it will be and has been that since 2012. This clearly places into code the policy that we thought we'd put into code in 2012. So no change, housekeeping. Not a very exciting item, really. But another chance for the TAC to come out.
So the recommendation is on page 42, and it's to make a motion to adopt Ordinance 1925-19, an ordinance amending Chapter 15.64 of the Sejouli Municipal Code to allow for deferrals of the impact fees for schools. Any discussion? Do I have a motion?
I have a question, actually.
Yes.
Last meeting, we had something like this come up, and we, like, if there's a deferred, and let's say they sell some, the school sells some property, then it would, then it wouldn't be deferred under the new ownership, right?
Right. Well, so the deferred collection of impact fees applies to limited circumstances, and the deferral is secured by an agreement. So it's intended to cover developers during the period of time from which the impact fees are normally due, which is the time of building permit.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to pay the impact fees until the impacts actually occur, which would be the time of occupancy. So
there's that
gap. So they always pay. There's really no path to not paying unless you just have a vacant house, and even that only can go on for a certain period of time. I don't remember what it is off the top of my head, but you cannot occupy it without paying. So it's intended to allow, really more flexible financing is what the development community said. You know, why do we have to pay the city all this money up front when there's no impact for 6 or 8 months?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
required to actually that's kind of where this all came from, this year's legislation. So we made it a requirement to jurisdictions to say tabulate how many they do each year. So this is also one more regulation that the planning department annually is I'm not sure how the state's doing this yet, but that's where this all started, is they're working on a system that requires or to how many different
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we ordinance 1925-19 to adopt amendments to the chapter 1564 Cedral and Municipal Code to clarify that school impact fees may be deferred and specifying the deferral period.
Okay. I had a motion by Councilwoman Kelly, seconded by Councilman Owen. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And then on to unfinished business, which is the salary increase for city councilmen. Yeah, this is it's a reconsideration of Ordinance 1924-19, but this will become 1926-19. So,
1926.
Yeah, 1926-19, depending upon what the council decides here. So, for those of you who don't know, when Ordinance 1924-19 was passed, I did veto it. We're bringing it back to the council for reconsideration. I did, in my letter of recommendation, suggest a pay raise. It's the same pay raise that the city got, that the city staff has received. So it would give them almost $90 more a month. It's $589 and change. So that was my recommendation, because I would like to see this to be more reasonable and within line with what we're doing within the city. I will now turn this over actually to... Somebody want to talk?
Do you want to give me... I'll give you the procedural background just to set the stage for the council. So... Under RCW 35A12-130, the mayor's veto returns this to the council to allow for the mayor's objections to be entered upon the record. That's what's in the packet, and it requires then a reconsideration. So the council has before it, multiple options. You know, you can override the mayor's veto and pass Ordinance 1924-19 with the affirmative vote of 5 council members. You can adopt a different ordinance, that would be 1926-19, that would be any other amount other than 900 with the affirmative vote of 4 council members. You could choose to take no action tonight, and you could choose to table this to a future time for future discussion. So it's really wide open, but the order of business begins with the reconsideration of Ordinance 1924-19. I think you've got everything in the packet. Really, nothing's changed since the conversation at the last meeting, but I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
I would actually like to make a motion to adopt Ordinance 1926-19, but an ordinance decreasing the pay for members of the City Council from $500 to $400 per month.
Okay, I have a motion by Councilwoman Cornegay to decrease the pay from $500 a month to $400 a month. Is there a second? Seeing that there is no second, motion doesn't carry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is the council's pleasure?
I would first like to do the reconsideration of 1924, was it?
24.
Dash 19.
So that would be the motion on page 46, the first motion, which is really a motion to again adopt 1924-19.
Second.
Well, I didn't make that motion. Did somebody make the motion? Oh, okay.
So
wait a second.
So there is a motion on the table by Councilwoman Dunley to adopt Ordinance 1924-19 to give the council raise from $500 a month to $900 a month. It is seconded by Councilman Dunley.
No, it was...
Or DeYoung, sorry. You know, you two, I got to separate you two. You're sitting too close together there. So by Councilman DeYoung, discussion?
Madam Mayor.
Councilman Couch?
Well, I'm in actual disbelief that we're back here again. We're public servants. We're elected into this office to serve the community and the staff. If we would have had this discussion at a more appropriate time, such as when we were preparing the city's budget and looking at what we needed to, buildings that we need to build so our mechanics aren't working on garbage trucks while laying in a mud puddle in a building that we acquired from the county probably 30 or 40 years before I was born. We don't have enough police officers on the streets to fight the crime that we have in the city. The meeting right before this came up, we had an hour and a half long presentation from the command staff from the police department outlining these issues. We just took on paramedics to serve a great area well outside of the city. And we don't yet know if we're going to have to increase that staff or what cost is going to come. It might not seem like a lot of money to some people, but I think the increase it's absolutely absurd. And I am more than willing to work with this council to come to a reasonable increase, but I will firmly stand, and my position has not changed, that $900 is not reasonable and that the city's budget can't handle it because it's not budgeted for. And I don't know what department the council members who voted for this the first time, what department we plan to take it from, but it's going to have to come from somebody.
Madam Mayor.
Hi, Councilman.
She can go ahead.
Okay. Councilwoman Kelly.
I think that revisiting this is important. I think that we need to reconsider everything involved in this. Certainly, I felt the mayor was very, very eloquent in her remarks to us about her veto and why. But I really think that this council also needs to look at the fact that no increases to the city council have occurred in 11 years. None. And I think that it's important that the city council also be considered as a part of this city's government, as well as the police, as well as the mayor, as well as our administration staff. They all do a great job. Debbie, oh, back there, she does a great job. Dean Klinger, Lynn Tucker, all of them. I appreciate every one of them, and I voted consistently to support their departments. However, I think that the council is also a department of this government and should be fairly compensated. So, Jared, if you have a number in mind, I would like to hear it.
Well, right now we have a motion on the table.
Yes.
Yes. That would be one more, Councilwoman.
I would like to just clarify something, that this isn't a job. This isn't we're not earning wages doing this. We have full-time jobs or retirement. The police department, that's their jobs. We cannot compare ourselves with our departments because that's what they earn to pay for their bills and to feed their families. This is a service. This is not our job. We cannot say that we need a raise, and we cannot say that this is our pay. This is a stipend. This is to pay for our daycare while we're here, maybe our transportation to come here, and maybe a little bit for our time. For myself, I spend an average of 10 to 12 hours a month. And Dennis's numbers are wrong. That comes out to $50 an hour or a little less. That's quite a bit of money. That's not what we need. I would rather see that money going towards flower baskets downtown or something for our departments, just something. I mean, most of us run because we want to do it because we want to serve the city. When we look at our last elections, we had contested races. People were stepping up. Even before that, the first time I ran, I had a primary. So, I mean, people want to do it. It's not, and it shouldn't be for the money, period. That's it.
All right. Thank you.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe the police is under union contract. I think they negotiate their salary. I don't think we have anything to do with it. Maybe approve it after it's negotiated, but they're under contract, so it's up to them and the chief through their negotiations to set their salary. It ain't, has nothing to do with us.
That's what I'm saying.
Councilman Couch?
Madam Mayor, just 2 points out of respect to Councilwoman Kelly. To answer, if we can vote this down, I would at least be willing to agree to what the mayor proposed and be more than happy to revisit this during budgeting season when we have the full picture in front of us. I'll agree to that compromise if this is voted down. And to Chuck's comment, yes, they are a collective bargaining unit, and I can guarantee you if this was to pass, the first thing out of the contract negotiator's mouth when they go into bargaining is the police want an 80% pay increase because a precedent's been set in your city.
Sounds good to me.
Well, it doesn't to me. All right, if there's no more discussion.
Madam Mayor.
Yes?
I was quiet 2 weeks ago, and I noticed that you're calling on folks multiple times, so I would like to make a statement. Please indulge me. I've written it out, and it will take a little time. Thank you. First off, I want to thank the public and those watching through public access. I'm glad we have that. I love Cedar Woolley, and that serving as an elected public official in any capacity is a great privilege and honor to those selected by the public to serve. I gladly accept the role, but I also enjoy the role because of the joy it brings me, because of the daily interactions with my neighbors has greater meaning. To me, being an elected official is not a ceremonial role. In any democratic body, like our city council, we have a duty, and that duty is to protect and defend our federal and local laws. But there's also unspoken rules that require city council members to be attentive, responsive, available, and knowledgeable. As a council member, I'm empowered to take up your individual issue and make change. We work hard every day, and we need to make sure council members are compensated properly. But it's our duty to explain why expanding compensation for future council members is necessary. Allow me to explain. We want a quality legislative body in Cedar Woolley. Oversight of the city must be done by trained and educated citizens that cannot be ethically compromised simply because of their financial means. Today, in my opinion, we have talented citizens now who have the personal resources and time to prepare for any upcoming decisions. As the city grows, more time must be demanded of our elected officials to govern. I would love to say that Cedar Woolley is growing. and that any modest stipend that could be offered cannot meet even part-time expectations for any citizen to consider volunteering on any board or commission of the city, much less consider a future run for city council. The data cannot support the utopian ideal of an all-volunteer citizenry that will be making multi-million dollar decisions for the city, but could put personal considerations first that are not in line with the best interests of Cedar Woolley. In my time alone, not accounting for official council gatherings, I meet with constituents and organizations for coffee in town. I attend multiple club meetings, service club meetings. I spend time at the county seat in Mount Vernon, serving on a regional economic development commission and a salmon restoration council. And I spend time in Olympia lobbying for parks and transportation improvements right here in Cedar Woolley, and also the best possible working conditions and safest working conditions for our public safety workers here in Cedar Woolley. Although these hours are not directly compensated, however, I do them because there is a quality of life that I choose to have for Cedar Woolley, and I am dedicated to invest that time for our residents. Although we may be considered a part-time body by some, we are elected officials 24 hours a day. While we never want to overcompensate an elected official, we still must invest in good governance. Too high of pay can lose confidence of the people. Too low of a pay does not allow any public servant to adequately serve due to considerations such as work, or worse yet, the possibility of corruption, where low compensation can leverage a critical decision. Most importantly, and I want to stress this, that I would like this body and the public to join me with a very affordable and reasonable request to invest in a professional city council. This city council should be compensated for its time when it's representing our residents at regional meetings, external regional committee trainings, or just the simple ability to meet our constituents when they reach out for their council member for a cup of coffee. Let's make quality governance, customer service, attentiveness, and responsiveness the top reason for improving the compensation of council or any public service. I urge your support. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Any other discussion?
Madam Mayor, I have one closing comment. I know a lot of us sitting up here at the dais at some point have had involvement with the Rotary Club, and we know that the Rotary does a lot in the city of Cedar Woolley. And just take a minute to think of their motto of service above self, I think is very important. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Okay, so I will do this by show of hands. All those in favor of supporting Ordinance 1924, pay increase from $500 to $900 a month, choose by saying aye or by raising your hand. And those opposed? So it's 4-3, and this needed to pass by a super vote, which is 5-2. So that motion did not carry. So,
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
What is our next available ordinance number?
1926-19.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to adopt Ordinance 1926-19, an ordinance increasing the pay of city council members from $589.73, which would be in direct correlation with the pay increases of the rest of the city staff.
Okay. So I have a motion by Councilman Couch on Ordinance 1926-19 to grant a pay increase from $500 a month to $589.73. Do I have a second? Okay. No second? No motion. a new motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we increase that to $600 and also add the amendment that this be revisited on a biannual basis.
Okay. So we have a motion, Ordinance 1926-19 by Councilwoman Kelly to do a councilman pay increase from $500 a month to $600 a month with an amendment that this is revisited biannually, correct? That council pay increase is visited biannually. Okay. Do I have a second? All right. So,
Madam Mayor?
Yes?
I move that we table this topic to our next budgeting cycle.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, so we're here. What is the council's wish?
Madam Mayor, I move that we table this discussion until the next work session meeting.
Okay.
And we can do some research and come back with some other options.
And that will be June 1st. Okay, so we have a motion by Councilwoman Kinzer to table the salary increase for city council members until next work session, which will be June 1st.
Did you say June 1st or June 5th?
5th, excuse me.
Madam Mayor,
yeah.
The June 5th is a special meeting for the legislative update. There's no currently the next regularly scheduled, according to our annual calendar, study session is September.
Yeah, it'll be September.
Sounds great.
Okay. All right, is that what you want to do?
Second.
We have a problem with that. As in,
I don't think we want to discuss it. I think we want to vote.
No, there's an election in there. And the whole point of this is to set it for the next election.
It's the November election that's the critical election, so the primary
would not be
a factor.
It's August, okay.
And it's actually the taking of office, so the effectiveness of this ordinance, there would be no problem following the September work session.
Madam Mayor,
okay.
Just some housekeeping. Who made the motion and who seconded it, please?
Kinzer. Oops, sorry. Crazy. So it was Councilwoman Kinzer who made the motion to reconsider this, to readdress this at the next work session, and that will be in September. I don't have the date.
I don't either, but that's okay. The September work study session.
Yeah.
And I seconded it.
And it was seconded by Councilman Couch. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so we have 6 4 and 1 opposed, and that was Councilman Dion.
If I may, I didn't hit the fast enough for discussion, but I opposed it because it's a work-study session, which is not on camera and does not have the volume of interest of folks that are here today, and I would have preferred it to be very, very transparent and very sunshined in a very open meeting. So that's my statement. Thank you.
So I think that's a great statement. And so let's just bear in mind that we can actually discuss this at the for the first work session, and then we can take it to the next public meeting. They're all public. They can show up, but you're right. It's the second and the fourth that are recorded. Okay. So I guess if that is it, if there isn't any questions regarding the information items or anything for the good of the order.
Madam Mayor, yes. I do have something for the good of the order. As Director Coleman brought up, we did have a planning committee meeting today, and should probably report about it.
Absolutely, you should.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We met at the planning committee, met in the Skagit room at 6 o'clock. We had Councilmember Kinzer and Councilmember Owen. The purpose of the meeting was...
We had Dunley and Owen.
Dunley. Pardon me. I'm Councilmember Dunley. We talked about auxiliary development or dwelling units. It was a hot topic in Olympia this year, and a lot of things going back and forth. And so we came by consensus that we would direct the planning department to work on a policy for Cedar Woolley versus being mandated with a one-size-fit-all from the state. And it would also be in conjunction in the pipeline for developing a plan with it's not the are we looking at the Growth Management Act? Was that thanks?
So I think what you're trying to say is
it was in March of next year.
If the City Council would like the Planning Commission to review accessory dwelling units, right, and possibly incorporate that into an ordinance where we can address how Cedar Woolley would like to see ADUs addressed instead of following what the city, what the state legislature might come up with next year. If we work on it in 2019 under the 2019 comprehensive plan amendment cycle, then we can have something in place before the council, before the state legislature passes something in 2020, assuming that they will. So what we would do, if the council wanted to work on the ADU issue ahead of time, to get ahead of state legislature to grandfather something in before we have to follow state legislature rules that might come out in 2020, what we need to do is amend our 2019 comprehensive plan docket, which the council adopted a work plan in March or February, I forget at the moment. However, no work has started on that so yet at the Planning Commission level, so there's no reason the City Council couldn't add the accessory dwelling unit topic to that that docket cycle for 2019, so the Planning Commission could start working on it this year.
Thank you, John. Also, I because we got caught in the confusion there, I did want to thank Mayor Johnson for attending and also Aaron Berg. Thank you. That's the report.
So you're looking for a nod then from the council, correct, to take this to the Planning Commission and address?
Yes, we're asking for the support of all of our council members to get behind this also.
Is there any opposed? Let me just put it that way. Yeah. Is there anyone opposed? Okay. So thank you, John, if you could take that to the Planning Commission.
Yeah, so there'll be one step in between where I'll bring the docket back to be amended to the City Council at the next City Council meeting, and then I'll be able to take it to the Planning Commission. We've got some stuff going out to the Planning Commission right now, so we're not going to be able to jump right on it anyway.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. And I want to thank everybody for attending tonight. I have to say, in all honesty, I'm a little disappointed that there wasn't a resolution, and it looks like this is going to be ongoing. We encourage public comments. We encourage communication with us, especially if you know who your ward council member is, and talk with them. And yeah, so yes.
Madam Mayor, just one comment for the good of the order. Candidate filing week is approaching quickly, so those of you interested in running for office, your time is coming near.
Thank you.
Monday the 13th. And if there isn't anything else, without objection, I will call us adjourned. Yes. Oh, thank you. Okay. I will actually distribute these to the council members, and this can probably be something that we can use as far as discussion come September. Yeah.